This is the Janet Murray Show, episode 317.
You're listening to the Janet Murray Show. Tune in every week for practical marketing advice that will help you make more money in your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. This episode is part of a series of interviews with inspiring business owners who've achieved big things in their business in 2018. So in this episode, you're going to meet Amanda Overend, and she's going to be talking about her new product line, Stocking Fairy. So it's a pre-picked and pre-wrapped Christmas stocking for 2 to 10-year-olds, and I think it's going to solve a big problem for lots of parents this year. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Thanks, Jan. Thanks for having me.
So might you be able to start by telling us a little bit about you and your business?
Okay, yeah, sure. I mean, my background is ironically in PR and sports PR prior to that. And after I had my children, I've got 3 little boys now. I was out at these children baby events or what have you, and I saw people selling books. And it sparked an idea in me for my first business, which was Books and Pieces. Because you could go to these events, you'd be buying books at full price. But I knew that on places like Amazon and at supermarkets, I could get them at a discount. So I started looking into how I could source books at a lower price. And that's where eventually I set up Books and Pieces, which is my other business, which I've been running for 6 years. And I did it alongside my job. And then 2 years ago at Christmas, in fact, it's nearly my 2-year anniversary, I left my day job to try and grow Books and Pieces full time. And also to I had sort of some childcare issues for my children. So it just meant I could be at home and had the opportunity to grow a business that would fit around my family. And then I kind of found when you're in the entrepreneurial space, it's really inspiring. You see what other people are doing and you start to think of other ideas, other ways that you could perhaps make some money or other businesses you could set up. And I came up with the idea for Stocking Fairy. And that was probably, that might even have been 2 years ago now that I came up with the idea, but I've been mulling it over and left it in the background just to focus on Books and Pieces. And then earlier this year, or it might even have just been the summer, I was thinking, oh, do you know what? That is a good idea. I think it's got legs. My youngest child started school this autumn and I thought I'd actually have some time to spend on it. So I was kind of, it's now or never. If I don't do it now, I've got to wait a whole other year to do it. And so I just thought I'd give it a go and try and set it up.
So Stocking Fairy, it's basically like a sort of pre-picked, pre-wrapped Christmas stockings for your children. I think you're doing 2 to 10-year-olds at the moment. So when I first heard about it, I was really excited because I was like, wow, well, then my daughter's too old. Because I hate Christmas shopping. And I know that's probably doesn't sound like a very nice and charitable thing to say, but I just hate that thing where you feel you have to go out and buy things. And I end up just like buying stuff that maybe I wouldn't. I don't know that maybe I haven't thought carefully enough about, and then you have to like wrap it all up, and it's bad enough if you have to just wrap all the presents up, but then if you're wrapping up individual things for stockings. And so when I heard about it, I was like, wow, if my daughter was older, I would definitely have one of them. So I mean, that's what I love about the idea, is it really solves a genuine problem for people. But when you first started talking to me about it, talking about, because you're in my membership group, you were a bit sort of like unsure, like, will people want this? So can you talk about kind of where you went from there?
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, so I'd had the idea, and then, you know, I'm a real overthinker, so, and I'm a people pleaser. So that was really difficult to start getting things off the ground. So I guess I needed to test the idea. I was thinking about it. I was thinking, you know, thinking of price points and things like that. And it wasn't really until I spoke to you, I guess, within the mastermind, that was when it really helped me to get things moving.
And I think when I first spoke to you about it, so you joined my mastermind group back in, I think it was July. And I remember you saying, I'm not sure if this is the right time for me to join the group because it's the school holidays. And I actually said to you, well, maybe that could be a good time, because actually, if you're taking a bit of a step away from your sort of regular business, or you're kind of letting that tick over the holidays, actually your mind might be a little bit freer for you to think creatively about something else. But I remember you saying, I don't know if I'm going to have much time to work on this, and I've got 3 young children, and also you had things that you wanted to do in your other business, Books and Pieces. You had, you know, a sort of membership type model that you created, and you were like a little bit nervous. And I think what you just articulated there is what I just hear so often, is people, like, they've got an idea for something and they're scared. They're just like, you know, I think this could be a good idea, I think it could work, but I'm almost afraid to do it in case it doesn't work and you know, maybe I waste time, I waste money. So it sounds like that's how you were feeling, is it?
Yeah, definitely. And even now, you know, I just think, what have I done? I'm so looking forward to my youngest going to school and having a bit of extra time to grow, you know, to spend more on the books. And I've just shoehorned this other business in. But actually, I'm really pleased that I've done it because, you know, I've had really great feedback so far and it's now live. And so I can start really promoting it and getting it out there. But yeah, it is tough. But I have learned this year that sometimes you've just got to go for it. I did the same with my book subscription, storybook subscription. I've been mulling it over for so long, but sometimes I just think you've got to take the step, put it out there, don't overthink it. And that whole done is better than perfect is a really good mantra for me because I am a perfectionist. And so I just have to get it out there and then deal with it. You know, and actually, if you get it out there when it's not fully formed, I think it kind of gives you more opportunity to develop it around what your customers want. So I guess a good example with Stocking Fairy is that I sent details out to my list. And so a lot of people on my books list are, they've got children under four. But when I wanted to set up Stocking Fairy, in my mind, it was how you explained earlier, Jan, it was people like you and I who love the idea of a brilliant stocking for our children. We want it to be magical. We want to have really good stuff in there. But the reality of going shopping for it, it's just a nightmare. And it's another job on the, you know, really long list of jobs you've got to do every Christmas. So I thought that it was going to be exactly people like me who would want to buy. But when I put it out to my list on that test day, the response was, oh, no, we hoped you'd have one for 1 year olds. I really wanted to get one for my toddler. And so then there was another problem I identified that way. And that was that people just didn't know what to get for their children, or they didn't want to get plastic tat that would just be thrown away and, you know, wouldn't have much use to it. And so that's been really interesting. So straight away, I was able to adapt my model and start selling a toddler package as well.
Yeah, and this is something I talk about a lot. So people will often come to me and they'll say, okay, I want to launch, you know, it could be something like what you're doing, Stocking Fairy. It could be a membership site. It could be an online course. And they'll often think that they have to go straight to kind of like 100. So basically they're like, I want to launch a membership community. So I'm going to wait until I've got like hundreds of people, thousands of people in my audience, or I want to launch an online course. I'm going to wait until I've got like millions of people, you know, ready and waiting to buy. Or they try and launch it first and realize that there isn't anybody in their audience and then they get despondent, you know. So what I always suggest people do, and I think is what I suggested to you in the mastermind, is instead of kind of like fast forwarding to like 12 months time, I think a lot of the time we're too busy thinking about what might happen in 6 to 12 months. Why don't you just see, can you sell this? I think I said it to you. Can you sell it to like 10 people? Because if you can sell this to 10 people as a concept without a fancy, because you were asking about websites and photography. And I said, if you can sell this to 10 people who are already your customers for your books without, you know, the website, without all the flashy photography, then you'll have tested that concept. And just like you said there, not only will you have tested the concept, but you'll also have got some interesting feedback about how you shape it going forward. But if you spend loads of money, like, you know, building a website, loads of time writing a sales page, and, you know, you can end up creating the wrong thing for your audience. So just by saying, okay, well, I'm just going to test it. This is what I always say to people. Can you sell 5? Can you sell 10? Then get that feedback. Even if you can't, even if people don't buy from you, you'll have some really interesting feedback that you'll be able to think, okay, I'm going to go back to the drawing board and reshape it. And it, I mean, from what you've said, you sold, I think, 12, didn't you, in that
15 in the end, yeah.
I think didn't we set you a target of 10? We said, just can you sell 10?
10 was the target, yeah. And then I got to 15. And it's interesting what you said, actually, about not spending. Because I, you know, again, you want things to look perfect. You want them to look amazing. But in the end, I just got my designer to sort of put a mock-up together of the kind of gifts that people would get within one of the stockings. And I hosted it on my existing website. So I just sent people a link to a page on Books and Pieces, and I was able to facilitate it that way. So it really didn't cost me anything at all, apart from maybe like half an hour of my designer's time or what have you.
Yeah, my friend Mark Asquith is a well-known entrepreneur in the UK. We've done a podcast interview together. He always talks about, I think he talks like a sort of sticky tape job, a sticky tape and blue tack job. And he basically says, you know, when you're testing out a concept, you don't want to be ploughing loads of money, loads of time into it. I think I remember us having this conversation in the mastermind. Should you host it on a different website? And we all said to you, Amanda, just put it on a page on your own website. You've got these customers who already buy from you. They already like you. They already know you. And they are the right type of people. Just put a page on your own website. And like you say, you know, pay your designer for an hour to create an image for you. It's just the minimum. There's a reason why they call it a minimum viable product. Just kind of do the minimum that you need to do just to test the concept. And then you can go out from there And you were pleasantly surprised, weren't you, that you'd hit yourself. The target was 10 and you got to 15. And that enabled you to fund the next stage. Can you talk a bit about that, how that enabled you to then fund the next stage of your launch?
Yeah, sure. So again, within the mastermind, it was a question of asking everyone what I should focus my spends on. So I'd generated just over £500 in income through the pre-sale. And so I needed advice really on where I should spend it. Should I pay out on a website? I mean, I'd spent a lot on my Books and Pieces website. It looked brilliant and I didn't have confidence that I could do a good job myself. And I think it was agreed that it should be spent on photography. So yes, yeah, so that's what I did. So I got some help from a stylist actually, who gave me some really good advice. And then I hooked up with a photographer to take the shots. And apart from that, I mean, we're just testing some Facebook ads right now. And I guess I've got my Shopify. So I've ended up doing a separate website on Shopify just to keep it neat and clean. But again, that hasn't cost me a lot. I mean, it's less than $30 a month. So yeah, and my time, I guess. But it's enabled me to get something. I've had really good feedback on the look of the website and how easy it is to navigate. But yeah, I have pretty much done it on a shoestring. And so if it, you know, this is really a test year for me. So I'm just seeing what is the response from people? What is it they want? I've got so many ideas of what we could do, but I've really tried to focus down on the core offering with a view that I can grow it next year and I'll be in a much better place to do that.
And I think it's just what you've done is just so sensible, because I think a lot of people, they have an idea for something like that. And before they've known it, they've spent thousands of pounds on stock. They've spent, you know, they've borrowed money to get a website built. They've borrowed money for photography. And actually, to test out a concept, you don't need any of those things. You can actually do that on quite a shoestring budget. Then you can obviously roll it out. So your target this year is to get to 200, isn't it? To sell 200. And then obviously then sort of take stock and think about next year. So how's it been going since you officially launched? I think it was just a couple of days ago, wasn't it? How's it been going since then?
So I think, I mean, I have made sales on my website, which is great. And I think it's a case of we're still early as you get towards Christmas. I think my big market is going to be the people that, you know, it's in December or it's 2 weeks from Christmas and they suddenly panic because they've got 1,000 things to do. But what I want to try and do, obviously, is get the sales beforehand. Because it's interesting you said about stock, Jan. I haven't committed to any stock right now. I'm going to wait and see how sales are going 2 weeks in before I place my orders so that I haven't committed the cash that way. So it's going there. Now I need to, it's kind of been a bit crazy frantic getting the website up and running and just working on copy and things for the Facebook ads, which I'm getting some help with. And the challenge is now I need to sit down and really nail my social media strategy. But I've used actually some of your techniques too, Jan, with that, the personal touch, going out to my existing networks. So sharing on my own Facebook page, speaking to friends, asking them to share. I'm going to post across my different platforms as well, emailing my list. I have a separate stocking fairy list that I built during the pre-launch. So that's not big, but it's people who are kind of hot leads. And then going back out to my main Books and Pieces list too. But yeah, so I haven't quite nailed exactly what I'm doing. But yeah.
It's still early days. And the reason I invited you to come and do this interview, because what I want you to take away, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, wow, you know, that's great. She hasn't spent very much money on launching something new. She's tested her idea. She's rolling it out. What I want you to take away from this, it isn't really about the figures. It could be that Amanda was, you know, she made £500 on her free pre-launch. It could be £50,000 that she's making on a pre-launch. But it's just this principle of not trying to get ahead of yourself, of actually thinking, okay, I've got something that I want to get out there. You don't know until you actually put a PayPal or a Stripe button on something. You'll never know whether people are going to buy. So you have to get it out there. You have to test it. And if you can do that in the, you know, the minimal, I can never say it, minimum viable product, if you can test it. So we do it with our media diaries. So you can imagine how much it costs to do a print run of, say, 1,000 diaries, A4 desk diaries. You can imagine it's about £10,000 that costs us just to kind of, you know, place that first order. So there's no way that I'm going to go and order £10,000 worth of diaries without knowing that people actually want to buy them. And that's still 3 years in. So what we do is we do a pre-order. So we get my designer to mock up an image of what it might look like, and we pre-sell them and beforehand. And then, you know, we set ourselves a target of how many we want to sell. And then as soon as we hit that target, we know we're definitely going to sell them. But even that sort of three years in, you know, as an entrepreneur, I've got a small team now, but I don't want to take that risk of spending out £10,000 or having, you know, my house full of diaries or whatever, because you've got, no, is that there's the whole stock thing. So, and I think often, you know, when we're in business as entrepreneurs, we can think it's almost like we're always trying to speed ahead, and we're always trying to think about what's going to happen in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. But actually, if we can just think now, can I sell this thing? Can I sell this product? Can I sell this coaching program? Can I sell this course? Can I sell it to 5 people? Because if I can sell it to 5 or 10 people, then there's a good chance I'm going to be able to sell it to. But it just breaks my heart when I see people like spending loads of money on websites and product photography or really nice kind of like personal headshots and all this kind of swanky stuff. And it's interesting. I was telling you, Amanda, wasn't I, the other day, that I've got a Facebook ad that I've done. I'm trying to remember what it was for, but it did so well. But it basically says, do you feel like you're living a lie? You know, on the surface of it, you have a beautiful website, you have beautiful headshots and branding, but actually you're not making any money. And I think that this is something that's going on in the entrepreneurial world, where actually people go out and they spend all this money and they have all the nice branding and the look or whatever, but actually they're not able to get any customers and clients. And actually, if you're able to kind of approach your launches like this, just thinking, okay, can I get 5 or 10 people to buy it? Whether it's £50 or whether it's £5,000, whatever it might be, it's just, you know, and you mentioned as well something really important, that you, again, I think we can get tied up with a new product or service trying to get new leads all the time. But actually, the people who are most likely to buy Stocking Fairy are the people who already know, like, and trust you. So you went out to your existing contacts, didn't you, and found that, mm-hmm. you know, and you've talked about friends. And when you first launch a product or service, it is going to be your friends, your family, your friends of friends. It is going to be the people who know, like, and trust you that are going to buy first. So why make it difficult for yourself by trying to attract loads of cold leads? So yeah, it's interesting that you've incorporated all of that. But we did talk, actually, in the mastermind, we talked about your Facebook ads, and we had a conversation about whether you should be going out to cold leads. And we think that that's probably going to work, don't we? That actually something like a Christmas stocking, if that pops up in your newsfeed, people are just going to be like, great, that solves a problem for me. And if you can get the targeting right, then that should work really well for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I do. I mean, it's useful to have my existing list and those customers that do trust me, like you said, Jan. But yeah, I think especially because of the short time frame, like, clearly I need to get this nailed in November, really. So yeah, we don't really have an opportunity to nurture a list. And like you said, it solves a problem. So I don't think I need to you know, be emailing these people a lot in advance. I think if they're my customer, if I solve their problem, they're going to spot that and they're going to come and buy.
And I think just to put this into context, if you're somebody that's thinking about doing Facebook ads, like so for someone like me with my media diary, I generally find I have to warm people up. So, you know, some people actually, we do some cold ads for my media diary, because it's an A4 desk diary with key dates and awareness days to plan out content. And it does solve a problem for people. But actually, if people are new to me and they don't know me and they don't know my content, then I need to get to know them. So we create a media calendar, which is a downloadable media calendar. We give people the dates for January, and then we show people how to create their own media. So it's like a DIY version of the diary. And so we use that to build our list. And so we're getting people onto the list. And then once we've started to build a relationship with them, then we might make an offer to the diary. But crucially, we test it. So we're looking, okay, well, what happens if we put that extra step in and we say, okay, we're going to get new people on the list. We're going to give them a free media calendar. And then we're going to see, then we're going to make an offer to them. But also we'll be testing cold ads as well and saying, well, you know, a lot of this stuff, you won't know until you actually try. So you know, we'll be looking really carefully this year to see, well, are we making more sales from when we get people to download the media calendar first, or are we making more sales when we just send people directly to an ad? And a lot of this stuff is just kind of like, you know, it's just kind of trial and error. However, I think when you're really solving a problem for something, like the only thing I can ever think of I've bought straight off a Facebook ad was I bought this running belt thing. So I bought this thing that you can put your iPhone in when you're running, and it solved a real problem for me, because the ones that you put on their arm, they just slip up and down my arm, and like they just feel really annoying. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, that is exactly what I want today. I need it. And I just went and bought it straight away. No questions asked. So if you can get your targeting right, you can do cold ads like that. But I think it does depend on your product and service, and sometimes you have to try. And I think we discussed this in our mastermind, didn't we? And we felt that with your product, it just solves a problem, doesn't it? And if it shows up in your feed and you're just like, oh my God, I can't face another trip to the shops, you're just going to be like, great, I'm going to have it, aren't you?
Exactly. And, you know, my customers are busy. They're a busy person. They don't really want to spend hours or minutes or what have you, you know, reading emails from me. They just want to buy, tick it off their list.
And, yeah, exactly.
You know, and be happy with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, so it's early days for you, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the mastermind and how it's helped you, and how in particular the accountability has helped you, because you've had this idea for a while. And I think you said to me, if I hadn't been in the mastermind group, I'm not sure that I would have done it 100%. Can you just talk a bit about how the mastermind, you know, what it's been like for you and how it helped you deliver and actually get this done?
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, there's no doubt. If I hadn't been on the mastermind, I wouldn't have thought of sending it out to my list in that way. I wouldn't have tested it. I'd have probably blown cash trying to do something fancy, or I'd have just overthought it like I have a bit of a habit to do, and then be kicking myself when next year rolls in and I'm still no further forward. So it was just, the accountability is big for me. It's really helpful, especially when you work on your own and, you know, things can get put off. It's so easy to not do stuff or to get sucked into to other parts of the business. So knowing that I had to have something to show to the teacher every month that was the driving force. I mean, I remember sitting there typing out, I think it was the emails, thinking, oh my God, I've got to get them out. I've got a week to do it before I'm speaking to Jan. So I was literally just, definitely, if it wasn't for that, you know, I'd have spent time on my book business or doing something different. So without a doubt, it was having that accountability, that check-in. And also what was really nice about it is that I think sometimes as business owners, we can beat ourselves up about what we're not doing. But going within the group and having people say, oh, wow, that's amazing, you've done it, or just having that support and that encouragement is really motivating as well. And, you know, and it just makes you think, actually, I should be proud of myself. I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah, you've done something. And that's the thing. I mean, so how the mastermind works is, so I have three levels to my mastermind, depending on where people are in their business and basically how much time they want to put into it. But you're in the group where I have, we do one call a month, don't we? And it's like one Zoom call.
Yeah.
We have six people in the group with all different types of businesses. So everybody's got a different aim, but everybody's, you know, the idea is I try and get people to set a big goal. I try and get people to say, okay, by the time I finish, we do 4 month cycles. By the time I finish this cycle of the mastermind, I want to have this thing out in the world. And it could be a new product. Like in your case, it could be a new program. It could be, I've had people do memberships. I've had people launch podcasts, you know, whatever it is, but there's something that they want to accomplish in that time. And so we get together on this Zoom call and, you know, we start off and everybody has to kind of talk about what their aims are. And sometimes they can change over the course of 4 months. And that's not, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because sometimes we learn things. Like, I've just completely changed something that I'm going to launch next week. Just had a massive insight and we've completely changed what we're doing. And, you know, sometimes that kind of happens and that's fine. But with it being a group call, everyone gets hot seat time. So Amanda, you got 10 minutes in the hot seat just to talk very specifically about. And one of the calls you talked about, you know, whether or not you should get another website, didn't you? And whether you should spend on that.
Yeah.
One of them we talked about whether you should have a, you know, you talked about whether you should have a spend any money on your website or the photography. What else did we focus on? I always encourage people to have quite a specific focus, and you're getting feedback not just from me, obviously, because, you know, I don't know everything and I haven't experienced everything, but you're also getting five other business owners, and whatever you're going through, it's likely someone else has been there and experienced it and can offer something. That's really kind of how it works, isn't it?
Yeah, and you're building connections with other business owners too, so which goes beyond those calls, and you've got somewhere to check in and through the Facebook page on a regular basis, and yeah, just other people to bounce ideas off really throughout the month. So it was, yeah, really useful. And it's a safe place. You don't have to worry. You're not putting it in a large group where you think someone might criticize you or take your ideas or anything like that. It's great to have that support as well.
Yeah. And we have our own sort of private Facebook group. So Amanda, I think you jumped in the group to share your sales page that you put together to get feedback on that. And so we're sort of connecting with each other in between calls. I tend to go in and would like to write a summary of what we've talked about, and particularly a summary of people's goals. And I ask people to set a goal for the next session. So that's where the accountability comes in, I think, where it's like, you know, you just know that, I mean, I belong to a mastermind group as well. And I know that, you know, if I've said I'm going to do something by the next time that we speak, I'm like you, I'm like rushing to get it done because I'm like, I don't want to turn up and say I haven't done it. But the other thing for me as well, and you mentioned it as well about being in a mastermind. So I'm in Chris Tucker's mastermind, but like, I remember going to a call one day with something where they talked me down from something. So there was something that I decided that was really important in my business that I should spend time on. And they said to me, like, why are you spending time on that? Like, you know, wouldn't it be easy if you did this instead? And I was like, oh, actually, yeah. And so I'd gone in like with this thing that I thought was really important in my business that I needed to spend loads of time on. But the other thing about mastermind is that challenge. It's sometimes because people, when you're in your business, often you can't see the things that other people can see. And it's like somebody who's come from the outside and say, well, Amanda, why are you spending time on that? Or like, why would you bother on that? Because, like, you know, you could do this instead. But often you're so, I mean, I get it as well. You know, you're so invested in your business and you're so close to it, you just can't see it. And I saw that a few times where you'd sort of come with one thing and then we'd say, well, do you really need to do that? And then you get off the call feeling lighter because you're like, ah, actually, I don't really need to do that. Or, you know, yeah. Or actually, I'll do this instead kind of thing.
Definitely. Yeah. You just blink it, aren't you, when it's your own business. And so having other people question you, and I know we questioned others, I think lots of other people in the group benefited as well from having that questioning. So yeah. And especially if it ultimately makes your life easier, I'm all for that.
Yeah. And often easy life. What people spot is where you're actually doing work that you needn't be doing, or you're focusing on something that actually isn't giving you a return. That's what I find. But it can be quite uncomfortable, you know, quite challenging. I had something recently in my mastermind group where, you know, somebody in my group, they were very kind about it, but they really, really challenged me about something. And I knew it was true. I knew it was totally true. But, you know, I didn't really want to hear it. But actually, it's probably one of the best things that's happened to my business, you know, having somebody really challenge me on something that I knew I wasn't doing as well as I could be doing. And it actually forced me to take action. So I think that they're probably the key things with the mastermind, aren't they? And I think, you know, if you're listening to this and thinking, you know, you might want to become part of a mastermind, how would you say it's different to coaching, Amanda? I mean, you've done coaching, business coaching as well, haven't you?
Yeah. How is it different? I think it's just because you've got that focused time, and especially with once a month, it was just that one focused time to solve your problem. It really makes you think about what your one specific problem is. So what is the one thing I'd really think before, you know, I've got these 10 minutes, I need to use it really wisely. Where am I going to get most value? Where is the biggest problem? And so I guess, yeah, and it's also, it's handholding. I guess it depends how often which of your masterminds people are on, but you're getting some handholding, but you're also being responsible for actually cracking on in the interim. So yeah, I guess it's less, there's less involvement from what you might have if you had weekly check-ins with a coach or face-to-face or what have you. But yeah, it was definitely good because it enabled me to just focus on what was important and then crack on in between. Plus, clearly, cost-wise, it's different because there's less time commitment from, you know, from yourself, for example. So it was, for me, it was a really affordable way to crack on and get stuff done.
Yeah. And I think you raised a really important point about responsibility there when it comes to masterminds and coaching. This is something I feel really strongly about. But I think I said to the group, I think I shared with you that I pay significantly
crazy amount
compared to what my mastermind people pay to be in my group. But I actually probably get less input, which, now that probably sounds really crazy, doesn't it? But I feel like, you know, it's not my mentor or my coach's job to kind of spend time talking to me. It's kind of like for me to turn up at the calls, for me to go to, I have like in-person masterminds with my mastermind group. But it's up to me to do the work and nobody else can do the work. I can get the most fantastic advice from my mastermind leader, Chris. I can get like brilliant insight from the rest of the group. But, you know, the only person who can go off and do the work is me. And so I'm very much about sort of saying that to people as well in the group and saying that, you know, you have to take responsibility just because you're paying to be part of a mastermind or even paying to work with a coach. You have to take responsibility because nobody else can do that work but you. But I do think just knowing that other people are kind of interested in your business as well, and they'd be saying, how are you getting on with that, Amanda? How's Stocking Fairy going? And, you know, other people to help you celebrate as well. I think everybody's always really chuffed for you, aren't they, when you're in a mastermind group and everyone's sort of, you know, celebrating with you, because, you know, that's important too.
Yeah, no, it's been a really great experience, and it's definitely, you know, fast-tracked me at a time that I really needed fast-tracking. So yeah, thanks so much for that, Jan.
What advice would you have for somebody who is, you know, like you, has got something that they want to launch in 2019 and, you know, they've had an idea for a while, they've been sitting on it, they're maybe feeling a little bit scared, maybe feeling like they, you know, not sure about doing it. What would be your sort of practical tips to people to actually kind of go from thinking about it to actually doing it?
Okay. I mean, I guess the first thing is what is the smallest amount you could do? So just don't overthink it. Don't think about your, like you were saying earlier, your big plan for 6 or 12 months time. What is kind of the light version, if you like, of what you want to offer? And how can you make that happen? Look at how you can do it on a budget. So really don't spend money like you've done and mentioned and I've done now with Stocking Fairy. Try and generate income. Sell the item before you physically have the product or before it started. So test it. So you're not wasting money that way. And just try it. You know, for me, I've been thinking about it, I've been sitting on it. And if I didn't do it this year, it was going to be next year. That, you know, it's a whole year away for me because of the festive nature. So I think you've just got to give stuff a go. And so many things now you can do without actually investing much money. And speak to people, speak to your customers about it. Just check, you know, if it is something. And be prepared to change what your idea is as well. So don't go in just with your one fixed plan of what it is. Adapt it and really listen to your customers and what they want so that you're solving a problem for them.
Yeah, and I think that's the advantage of going in small as well, isn't it? If you just go in with a small, can I sell this to 5-10 people or whatever, then you get that feedback and you can adjust like you did. You adjusted in response to the feedback you're getting, basically. Yeah.
Exactly. And don't put pressure on yourself. Like, you know, there's so many people out there you see on social media who's, you know, doing amazingly, it would appear, and you kind of think, oh, why aren't I there? But I just think just trying and making steps, the way I see it, it's a test year and I'm making steps towards making it bigger. I can see my long-term picture, but I know it's going to take me a while to get there.
So
and work within your means and your time. You know, a lot of people, like, you know, I've got my young kids, you don't have lots of time to spend, so it's just choosing what's going to make the most difference and doing that.
And I think there's that lovely quote, isn't there, about not comparing your chapter one with somebody else's chapter 10 or 20 or something like that. And I'm always saying this all the time. Like, you know, like you see people who are having these like amazing launches and earning all this money, and it appears like they've just suddenly popped up from nowhere. But actually, they've usually been plugging away in the background. They've usually tried lots of things that haven't worked. They've usually got lots of failure stories, but you don't hear about all that. All you see is the amazing success. And I think it's important to kind of remember that and just you just sort of, if you just execute, you know, I just think I hear that thing so often about launching things, about joining like my mastermind, about coming to my live events, about, and people say, I'll wait till next year. And I'm just like, really, like, you're going to wait 12 months. And I often say to people, how will you feel like this time next year if you're still in the same position as you were now, because you haven't focused on this thing that you know you need to, you want to focus on it now, and you know you need to focus on it now because you're interested in this thing, you're talking about launching this thing. How are you going to feel in 12 months time if you haven't actually executed on that? And I just love the fact that you said, you know, you gave yourself a talking to and you just did it, because I bet you feel, you know, you're so much more closer now to, you know, what you want for the future. So big congratulations for me for actually kind of executing it. And I hope that if you're listening and you have got a big idea and, you know, something you want to launch, something you want to try, that this has given you some inspiration to get out there and actually do it, because every action you take takes you, you know, a step or a few steps closer to actually having the success that you want. But if you're just sitting there thinking about it, then you're still going to be in the same place in 12 months. So thanks so much, Amanda. It's been really inspiring to
hear
what you've done. And I feel really proud that you've done it. So that's amazing. And where can we find you, and where can we find Stocking Fairy if we want to know more about it?
Okay, so I'm on stockingfairy.com. You can find me on my website and see my products on there. And I'm on at Stocking Fairy on Twitter and Facebook, and at Stocking Fairy UK on Instagram.
Fab. Thanks so much, Amanda.
Thanks ever so much. Bye-bye.
You've just been listening to The Janet Murray Show. If you enjoyed the show, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more marketing tips that will help you make more money in your business.